Okay. So, just some quick instructions as usual before we start off trying it out in practice. And as always, when you do meditation practice, it's so important to get things in the right sequence and step by step, and to feel relaxed, and then eventually to turn away a little bit from the world and turn towards the spiritual happiness, or the spiritual path is kind of the final step, and then you can move into meditation from there. Yeah. And always when you start off meditating, always make sure that when you start off that you feel at ease, you feel relaxed. This is so important. And I think too many people, they try to meditate without feeling, first of all, just not having any pain, and secondly, making sure that you are at ease, right? There's no tension in the body. There's no sense of that the body isn't really at ease and relaxed. This is so important, and people often forget this, and they sit and they sit and they sit, and they can't really relax. Sometimes it's natural, right? Sometimes there is some kind of stress in life. There are things happening, which makes it very hard to really relax. You can't. That might just be the wrong day or whatever is going on. And in those situations, sometimes after a while, if you find that you can't really relax, and get up and do something else. Do a bit of walking. Do something which, listen to some chanting. Read a sutta. Just do some other work, something nice, other work that you need to do, just to get back to normal, back to relaxed again. And then you can go back to meditation practice. It is so important to do that, because if you do it in the right way, you will enjoy the meditation so much more. It becomes so much more beautiful. And that, in a sense, if you can just sit there and be completely relaxed, completely at ease, that is already a state of body and a state of mind which is much better than what we normally have during most of the time. When we're running around doing things, there's always a bit of tension there. But if you can sit there and be completely relaxed, that already is actually quite nice. And then once you do that, once the body is really relaxed, then it's much more easy for the mind to come into the present moment. Because if the body is in some way not at ease, the mind tends to, doesn't really want to be here. Because why would you want to be with something unpleasant? You tend to run away. When things are pleasant and at ease, it's much easier to do it. So this is the first thing. And then the mind sort of, once the body is relaxed, you are with the mind. And of course, that also has its own problems. The mind sometimes starts thinking, running off, and doing all kind of other stuff. And one of the most important things in meditation practice is to be able to guide the mind towards the spiritual side of things, towards the spiritual happiness, towards the happiness that comes from, doing all the right things in life, generosity, kindness, all these kind of things. And it's two things. Either you can guide the mind towards the positive acts of the spiritual life, or you can kind of guide it away from the problems of ordinary existence, right? So these are two different ways. And the main problem of ordinary existence that stand in the way between you and peace is craving, right? Is all the worldly, all the things of the world. Because this is what we normally live in, the five senses, and the attraction there and the attachment to that is the one major thing that stands between us and peace in meditation practice. So to be able to lessen some of that attachment to worldly things, sometimes some very simple contemplation and ways of thinking can be enough to turn you a little bit away from that and towards a more peaceful mind state. And this is some of the things I was talking about yesterday. And this is, I don't, many of you may not have been here, but one of the things I was talking about yesterday at the talk here was that whenever there is craving for worldly things, whenever there is attachment for worldly things, there is conflict, there is anger, there is problems, there is violence, there is all these negative aspects are just behind that craving, just behind that attachment. And the reason is because the world has limited resources. We want the same things, right? We want the same partner in relationships. We want the same jobs. We want more of the pie. The pie is only so large and you get your little slice. Well, actually, I want more than that. And then this is the way that conflict arises. And the vast majority of conflicts in the world are over precisely the things of the world that we are all striving for and all craving for to some extent. And when you remember that it's all involved with conflict. Conflict and craving are like two sides of the same coin. It is inevitable. You will have conflict if you have craving, if you have attachment. These things must go hand in hand. It makes the whole thing much less attractive, right? One thing coming after the other. And there's that reflection, and this is something that Buddha talks about in the suttas quite a lot, just that reflection can be enough to turn you a little bit away from that world. And once you turn away, the way you know that the mind has turned away is that you feel more peaceful. There's less interest in those things. The mind settles down, and then it becomes so much easier to meditate on the metta or the breath or whatever it is. So that is one way. Remember that this thing is always full of conflict, is always problematic. It always goes in that direction. That's always part of it. The world where there's no craving, no attachment, is a world without conflict. The world of metta, right? The world of pure samadhi, of deep meditation. Conflict is completely gone. So this is one way. Another way to do this, to move the mind away from craving, sensuality, attachment to the world of the senses, is to remember that world is inherently unsatisfactory. And this is another thing I was talking about yesterday. If you imagine what it is like to have all your desires, everything satisfied straight away, if you see what happens there, and if you feel inside of yourself what that means, you will understand that is what you see there. You see that the inherent unsatisfactoriness of this kind of craving. If everything is satisfied straight away, then it's almost like you can start to see the emptiness in those things. It's just like when you have a large fill of sensual pleasures afterwards, you feel a sense of emptiness. There's nothing there. There's nothing of substance. It doesn't give any kind of sense of fulfillment inside. It's like an empty kind of happiness. There's nothing there. And if you understand that it is an empty kind of happiness that doesn't really fulfill you, it's just something you need more of and more of and more of, and that again, it shows you the uselessness in the end of that kind of pleasure. It doesn't really go anywhere. It doesn't actually have any true satisfaction to it. And when you know that, and you know that meditation is the thing that takes you ultimately to that true satisfaction, then again, you turn your mind away from those things and you turn it towards meditation practice instead. So these things are quite simple tools, and there's a lot of them, lot more of them in the suttas. But used wisely, and occasionally they will work. Occasionally you kind of hit the right button and suddenly your mind turns away and you find that peace arises as a consequence. Simple little things. So let's do a bit of meditation together and let's see what happens. Okay, so as always, close your eyes and just feel your body for a while. Make sure that you are nice and relaxed. Make sure that your body is comfortable. Just spend a few minutes doing that at the beginning. And just keep on observing your body and make sure that you are really nice and relaxed. And as always, just keep on just relaxing and relaxing until you feel completely at ease. And you know that you are at ease when the body starts to kind of not mean anything anymore. It sort of disappears into the background. It becomes irrelevant. It's not holding on to your attention in any way. That means the body is nice and relaxed. And just keep on doing this stage of the meditation, just relaxing, just feeling at ease. Just do that until it actually happens completely, and the body starts to fade away. And when that happens, when you feel really completely at ease, and just indulge in that feeling a little bit. Feel that feeling, the feeling of kind of peace, the feeling of being relaxed and at ease, and just feel how nice that is. And this in itself will be enough to incline you towards meditation practice. as you practice in this way, gradually you will see things calming down, becoming peaceful. And when the body is kind of out of the way, just allow that peace to come deeper into the mind. Allow the mind to settle down just by observing, just by being with the mind, not controlling, not demanding anything, just allowing things to settle by themselves. By standing back and observing, you're allowing peace to enter deep inside of you. And just to help you settle down, if you need some more distance from the world outside, just remember that one of the things that you are doing here, right now, in this meditation practice, is that you're taking your attention away from the world of conflict, the world of problems, which is inevitable in the world of the five senses. And you're withdrawing your attention from that and moving inside of yourself into a world where there is true peace, or at least there is the potential for true peace. You're moving it away from the world where there is no real satisfaction to be found, towards the world inside, where true satisfaction and true fulfillment can actually be found for the first time. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. So let go of all that stuff outside. Go inside of yourself and allow yourself to become peaceful, free and happy. if you feel a sense of peace in your meditation, just notice how that is goes together with the untangling from the world. As you untangle from the world, as you leave the worldly things behind, the peace starts to rise inside. And please notice that. And as you notice that, encourage yourself. Understand that you're moving in the right direction. And if you go further along that path, you will just keep increasing and increasing and increasing that peace. The more you disentangle, the more peace and the more happiness you get. Encourage yourself in this way and move forward step by step. now coming to the very end of the meditation. So please ask yourself, how do you feel right now? And if you feel quite good and you feel quite peaceful, then try to investigate why that is. Understand the causality of meditation, and then store that information for future use. And if you're not feeling peaceful, then again ask yourself why. And the same again, there is a reason for that. And try to understand the process. And as you understand the process, you can use that understanding in the future. Okay, are there any questions or comments about today's meditation practice? Yes? Please, yeah.
Your philosophy talks a lot about attachment, and I find attachment one of the most difficult things deal with. Especially myself, I'm very territorial, possessive, and get very attached to things. What advice can you all give, or what... can you say to help deal with attachment and maybe be less attached to things?
Okay, so generally the way the Buddha talks about these things, he says that you understand things, you understand the suffering in things, and once you understand the problem in something, the suffering in something, then you tend to move away from that automatically. What I mean is that when you understand the suffering in attachment, you understand that, right?
There is a suffering, yeah.
Yeah, and the suffering is that when you're attached, it gets taken away from you, then, it's going away here. It's like a relationship. You get very attached to other people. Then if that relationship, the more attached you are, the more suffering comes from that relationship once it breaks up, right? When somebody dies, somebody leaves, and all this kind of things. So there's always a suffering involved in these things, both in craving and attachment. And if you understand that, then in meditation, you're going in the opposite direction towards peace. You recollect that attachment, you recollect rather the problems with the attachment, and your mind moves away from that. Even if only temporarily, it has a good effect.
Doesn't work with me, I'm still attached.
Yeah, well, it works a little bit sometimes. Sometimes you just have to,
You're saying that in meditation you become less attached?
You do, if you think in the right way. If you think in the right way, you do, yes. Yeah. It's about seeing the danger in something, seeing the suffering. Sometimes that takes practice, right? It is hard. But I'm sure you have, as you say, you have seen the suffering yourself before. So remember that. Remember that suffering. And remember that you don't really want to deal, you don't want to have any part of that. So your mind, once it sees the suffering, it tends to move away in a different direction. Because you haven't seen it clearly enough, probably. You're probably still seeing the happiness there to some extent. That's why it's hard to move away. But the more you think about it, the more you reflect on these things, the easier it can be to move away. It really depends on your personality as well. People are different. Some people, they can see the suffering and turn away. Other people, they need some happiness and they can turn towards the happiness, right? So the usual way of teaching meditation is not actually so much to focus on the suffering in something, but to focus on the happiness in things. So in Buddhism, because the foundation stones of Buddhism are to practice kindness and generosity and morality and these kind of things, one of the basic teachings is to remember that and to feel a sense of joy that you're living a good life. This is kind of a very basic meditation technique that was taught by the Buddha. And that joy then draws you into the present moment. If you feel joyful, here and now, it draws you into the present moment. Mindfulness gets established, and then it is possible to watch the breath and get into meditation. Yeah. So try different things. It's not everything is as suitable for all kind of characters.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Anybody else? Everybody else okay? Yeah.
Thank you. I just have a question further on with attachment.
Yeah.
With regards to relationships, as in husband and wife, partner, whichever sex, what would the quality of a relationship be when detachment is there, when healthy detachment is there, when you've seen through the suffering? Could there still be a relationship, or would there be an inclination to not even have a relationship?
Well, this is a gradual thing, right? It's not either or. It's not either you're attached or you're not attached. It's a very gradual thing. Yeah. And some people are incredibly attached, you know, really, really attached, to the point where if the partner dies or they leave them or whatever, they commit suicide even, because life becomes completely meaningless. So attachment comes in a vast variety of shades, from the strongest to the weakest. So what you're doing here is only, you know, this kind of reflection would only help you a little bit in detachment, just a tiny bit. So it won't really affect your relationship as such. Or if it affects it usually affects it in a beneficial way, because if you're more detached, you're actually able to react often in a more wholesome way towards your partner. If you are very strongly attached, you have a lot of vested interest in that person, how they behave, what they do, and you get upset if they do the wrong thing. If you are more detached, you can look upon things in a more equanimous way. So usually, in the beginning stages, it has a very positive effect on relationships if you're more detached. Eventually, it can potentially lead to not being interested in relationships, potentially, but that's usually a long, long way down the road, right? So just go gradually and see where things take you. Yeah. Okay. Linda.
Speak a little bit more. You said the connection between conflict and craving.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is something that you find quite a bit about in the suttas, I think it's basically whenever there is craving, then there will be possessiveness, right? Because you crave, you will attach to things, you want things, and whether that is just people connections, relationships, or it is things you own, or even it's your own body, whatever it is, because you're attached to these things, you crave, then you attach to it, and then you feel possessiveness. And whatever you feel possessed that you possess, it will often be conflict, because sometimes other people want to possess the same thing. And the most obvious one is in relationships, right? Often we will people will often be interested in the same person, and then there will be conflict. Or we will want the same job, for example, and there will be conflict in the workplace because of these things. People will compete with each other. Often it's about competitiveness. Whether it is in families, when there is last generation dies and you're going to inherit what is there, you often fight over the inheritance. It's very, very common. You read about these things all the time. You can see conflict arising in society. A lot of it is basically over worldly things, basically, that we have in common. The pie is only so large. We can only have such a small little slice for ourselves. But we want more, right? And if we want more, sometimes we have to infringe on other people's part of that pie here. So it is inevitable that these things lead to conflict and you fight over things, basically, here. Yeah. Okay. So a couple of questions from outside, one from the UK. Okay, this is from James in the UK. Good afternoon, Ajahn Mali. My question is, can you give a rundown on how you would advocate meditation on the four elements? Okay. Just very, very briefly, I don't usually do that sort of meditation, but it can be very useful. So the four elements in Buddhism is just a way of looking at the world. You look at the world in terms of the earth element, the kind of the hardness, the water element, the air element, and the fire element. And in a sense, you can look upon all matter as consisting of these things. So the idea here, basically, is to remember that in the end, your body is just those four elements, right? You can break down your body into these four elements. And the classical way to do that, according to the suttas, is to kind of review the various parts of the body and then classify it according to those elements. and then realize that actually these elements in your body are just the same as the elements in the rest of the world, right? There's no difference between what this body is and the rest of the world. And eventually this body will go back. Earth goes to earth, right? Water to water. So there's nothing different. This body is no different from the world outside, from the water, from the air outside, from the fire outside. It's exactly the same. So once you if you can see that, if you can actually meditate on that and understand that your body has its nature is the same as the elements outside, then of course again you lose some of your attachment to the body, right? It's just nature. It's just stuff. Suddenly it comes together, it becomes a body, then it dissipates again and goes back to nature. So that's a very brief description. You can read about one of the suttas, one of these courses of the Buddha that deals with body contemplation is found in the Majjhima Nikaya, Majjhima Nikaya number 28, the greater discourse on the elephant's footprint, it's called, and that deals in great detail with body contemplation. It's essentially what I just said now, but it talks about this in a bit more detail. So have a look at that sutta. You can find it online. The Majjhima Nikaya number 28, middle-length discourse of the Buddha number 28, the greater discourse of the elephant's footprint. Okay, then we have VQ from Indonesia. Dear Ajahn, how to overcome the mind drifting away during meditation? Right. So you are one among millions of meditators who have that problem. So yeah, welcome to everybody has this problem sometimes. And I remember even Ajahn Brahm said that when he was a young monk, even he had that problem sometimes. So it's obviously very, very important. I think even the Buddha probably may have had that problem as well when he was meditating occasionally. So really, you have to understand the causes. Why is it that the mind drifts? And the reason it drifts is because you're not really happy here and now, right? You haven't got that something which keeps you in the present moment. Why isn't that? Why does the mind think about something else? Because this, well, it's pretty boring. I'm just sitting here, nothing is really happening, right? And life isn't that great. And that is why the mind is drifting. So you have to find, and this is why I go to such lengths when I say, be comfortable in your body, right? One of the causes of the mind drifting is because you're not comfortable. If you're feeling tense and not relaxed, if you're sitting too much cross-legged on the floor, but you're not really comfortable with that, for goodness sake, don't sit cross-legged on the floor. Sit in another way. Because if you're not comfortable, the mind will drift. You don't want to be here. The other thing is to make the mind feel a sense of joy, right? Joy, as I was just saying before, draws the mind in the present moment. If you feel happy about yourself, I'm leading a good life, right? I'm doing my best, I'm being generous. And sometimes you remember specific acts that you have done, specific things that happened in your life. And sometimes you remember that and you feel this joy inside. Wow, what a wonderful thing that is. And that joy, it is a joy, wholesome joy, which is here in the present moment. It's got nothing to do with the past or the future, really. It is a recollection that you have now, something good in your life. That is the kind of stuff that draws you into the present moment and then glues you onto the meditation object, right? The meditation object becomes beautiful. The breath becomes beautiful. The loving kindness starts to take off because you're already feeling a sense of joy. Right? So this is what it's all about. It's about not suffering here and now, at the very least being at peace. But if you can, also find some joy here and now. And those two things will ensure that the mind doesn't drift. The last thing you should do is try to force the mind into the present moment. Don't sort of grasp the mind in an iron grip. Oh. breath or else kind of thing on the mind. Please don't do that, because it just makes it worse. If that's your attitude in meditation, the mind is going to want to drift even more, because it becomes even more unpleasant. Nobody likes to be in the iron grip, including your own mind. It doesn't like that. So if the mind really wants to wander, you can't find the joy and whatever, then after a while, if it doesn't work, don't force yourself to sit in meditation. Get up and do something else. This is one of the things, because the cause and conditions around us that make meditation possible, because they vary so much. Our meditation can be very, very different from day to day. Some days it can be nice, otherwise it can be completely hopeless. So, you know, if it is going very well, keep sitting here. If it isn't going very well, well, after, you know, 15, 20 minutes, if it really is bad, then do something else. But try to find something which is wholesome, which is then leading you back in the right direction again. Okay, so let us end off by just paying respect to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha.